tell a friend.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. It's Friday, April 16th. If you haven't done your taxes yet, you're late. Get them in. My name is Kara Coulter, and I'm sitting in today for Teresa Tamio. She's out and about. She's in Canton, Ohio, my home state, and actually close to my hometown. I grew up in Akron, Ohio. And she's out. I think she's up to some Italian mischief with Dr. Guarendi. We'll hear all about it, I'm sure, when we're back behind the mic, when we have her back behind the mic come Monday. Welcome to all our EWTN affiliates who join us in this hour. We're so happy to have you. It's a great hour planned. I get to be here the whole hour, which is always kind of exciting to really be part of all the exciting things that happen on air here at Ave Maria Radio. Coming up, we have our regular Friday guest, Janet Morana from Priest for Life and the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. Very interesting news coming out of Nebraska in terms of some abortion laws that got passed. So we'll have her update on that, what they are, what they mean, what their longevity could be. Like, you know, that's the one thing I worry about. I'm like, oh, that's great. They passed something. Please let it stick. We'll find out from Janet how strong these acts are. And from all that we hear, you know, the governor just is really sticking to them and pledging to take them, you know, to court if need be, if people want to challenge the constitutionality of them. So we'll find out all of that information coming up from Janet. And then after that, I will be spending the last half hour of today's Catholic Connection with author Regina Doman. She's a good friend of mine, and I love her books, and I've been able to talk to her a couple times on the air and encourage people to read her books. Well, she's also the editor, an editor for Sophia Institute Press, and they have some really great fiction coming out from Catholic authors. So if you're looking for some great summer reading that isn't going to offend your sensitivities or your spirituality or your way of life, then Regina's going to have some great suggestions, and she's going to have suggestions for everyone in the whole family, as she has a number of teen books herself that she's written, and there's some new women's fiction coming out that will appeal to the women in the family that the Sophia Press is releasing soon this summer, and as well as some mysteries. Sounds great. It's great to hear that your summer reading list will be able to be padded with some trustworthy sources. So we'll get that information coming up from Regina. But first, even before we go to the news, we're going to be joined right now by Matt Swain, the Sunrise Morning Show producer, to fill us in on what's happening next week on the Sunrise Morning Show. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Kara. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, while the cats are away, we might should sort of take over the shows and rule them, you know, as we see fit.
I hear a coffee planning session in our future.
There you go. Make it happen.
Okay. Well, speaking of shows, tell us what's coming up next week on the Sunrise Morning Show.
Wow, where do we begin? Well, we had a fascinating interview that we're going to air on Monday with Newt and Callista Gingrich. You remember Newt, of course, is the former Speaker of the House, and he and his wife have produced a series of documentaries of late, and the most recent one they've done is called 9 Days That Changed the World, and it's this program that focuses on Pope John Paul II's 1979 visit to Poland. And, of course, this was a time when the Polish Solidarity Movement was just starting to build, and Pope John Paul II's presence there really solidified the Polish community there, and you know, it's a powerful documentary. It features footage that was taken by people that were hired by the bishops to take footage because, you know, media was kind of controlled by the government.
Yes.
So a lot of this footage has never seen the light of day.
Okay.
And Newton and Calista do a great job of putting that together. And so that's one thing that's going to be going on.
And people might not realize, they might not have heard about Newt's conversion to Catholicism.
Right, just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty recent news itself. So to have him and his wife come out with this, I would say, trustworthy documentary, really, in encouraging a light put, especially with, you know, when you turn on the news, you don't hear people talking about the Pope in a good new, in a good light anymore.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear this great documentary coming out.
Yeah, and Newt's pretty straightforward. You know, when you think about politicians speaking about religion, you know, everybody believes in God, but nobody believes in Jesus, you know, when it comes to, like, talking in public forums. And Newt and Calista are both very straightforward about, you know, the power of the cross and, you know, its witness to help take down the communist regimes in Poland. So it's a very inspiring interview. I'm really excited about it. Also, by the way, I'm going to be talking with Bishop Thomas Tobin, who's the Bishop of Providence, Rhode Island. And he has a new book out called Effective Faith. And, you know, Bishop Tobin is not the sort of person who minces words, shall we say. Evidenced with his ongoing exchange with Representative Kennedy leading up to the healthcare debate. So that should be a fun one. I've interviewed Bishop Tobin before, and he's a great bishop.
Absolutely. I love every time his name comes up, my heart is just like, yes, I love him. He's not, like you said, he doesn't mince words. He's just, there's nothing holding him back. So that's
fantastic. He's an old Ohio boy too. I mean,
exactly.
He was the bishop of Youngstown. So,
that's I heard about him before he was my family lives in the diocese of Youngstown. So I've known about him for a long time.
Good deal, very good deal. I'm trying to think what else we've got. Well, Rich Leonardi, our Sunrise Morning Show catechist, always takes a look at various things that Pope Benedict has to say and sort of dices them up for us and into bite-sized portions. And so he's going to be talking about a couple of things, the teaching office, the priesthood, some of the other things that the Pope has been discussing of late. Also, every week we like to kick off the program with This Week in Catholic History with a friend of ours, Kevin Schmiesing, who runs a website called CatholicHistory.net, and he's always able to find these really obscure and fascinating pieces of Catholic history. I don't know about you, but I love hearing about the history of the Church.
I do.
He does a great job with that. Teresa Tomeo is on our show every Monday except this coming Monday.
Yep.
So that's kind of a bummer.
Yep, we're busy here at Ave Maria Radio. Next week we're going to have our spring membership drive, so we are going to be running the race really hard next week, but we'll definitely be tuning in, you know, here and there to see how it's going on the Sunrise Morning Show.
And, you know, and people don't realize how important those membership drives are. You know, I was discussing with our audience this morning how, you know, giving to nonprofits drops off dramatically during a recession anyway, but we're coming up on vacation season, and, you know, it's a drought for most nonprofits, especially Catholic radio, because people head out of town, they're not listening to Catholic radio, they're spending their money on Disneyland, and that really puts a hit on us. So I encourage everybody listening to Ave Maria to think and pray about what the Lord's asking you to give to help, you know, kickstart you guys into your summer.
Oh, thank you. We rely completely on the generosity of our listeners, and they have always come through for us, and we're excited for this one. And I think the past year we've been a little nervous, biting our nails, because it has been a tough economy. But you know what? There's a peace that we've had, because we've, unlike a lot of places that ask for money, we pray about it. And we ask the Lord to bless it, and when the Lord multiplies, you know, there's no stopping him, there's no limit.
Absolutely. You know, and it's, you know, Ave Maria provides programming to EWTN for free. Sacred Heart Radio provides our programming for free. But it's not like the energy company comes up to us and says, you know what, since you guys are such a wonderful ministry, this month's on us.
Exactly.
You know, we have those bills, you know.
Yep. You know, we have to mow the lawn around the transmitter to make sure the signal sounds good. All these little things that no one knows about. But, well, Matt, thank you so much. And we look forward to I'm really excited about the Gingrich interview. Is that going to be available to listen to afterwards, like podcasting on your website?
Sure.
Excellent.
Well, if you're not too busy preparing for the show, tune in at 7:45 on Monday morning and catch the whole thing.
Absolutely. So. Well, we're live at 7, but, you know, that's why I'll definitely
win. You know, whatever. nobody will notice.
Teresa won't be there at 7. She can tune in. But we'll be live at 7. But we'll definitely, I love to have that podcasting available so that, you know, whenever you can tune in, it's always there for you. So thanks for having that, feature.
You bet.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
Hey, you do the same. Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter to you, too. So that was Matt Swain, the producer of the Sunrise Morning Show. We've got the second-in-commands on the microphones today, and they better watch out. We might take over here on Catholic Radio. We're having a lot of fun, though, going into our weekend. But it's 10 minutes after the hour. We got to look at our news headlines. At least 2 Americans were wounded in an attack Thursday in Kandahar, Afghanistan, that killed 3 people. The U.S. Embassy says no foreigners were killed in the suicide blast that struck a compound of foreign staff, despite initial reports that some Westerners were among the dead. Kandahar's governor says 3 Afghans were killed in the strike and 26 people, including foreigners and Afghans, were wounded. The Virginia's governor has signed a bill to allow a pro-choice license plate. The plate will read, "Trust Women, Respect Choice." They will be sold to raise money for Planned Parenthood. Governor Bob McDonnell amended the bill to include language that would not allow any of the funds to go specifically toward abortion services. Instead, $15 of the $25 plate fee would be spent on pregnancy prevention services and testing. McDonnell's approval would curb potential legal action by the ACLU, which argued a pro-choice license plate was needed after last year's Choose Life license plate passed. The Tea Party's anti-tax, anti-big government protest rolled into Washington, D.C. yesterday afternoon following several minutes of music, including Bob Marley singing Get Up, Stand Up. Freedom Works Vice President for Public Policy, Max Pappas, welcomed the crowd.
We've put this little event together to let the powers that be know that we're not going anywhere, and we're watching them, and we're on their front lawn, and we know that they can't help but hear us.
Pappas got cheers when he asked how many in the crowd were there for lower taxes, less government, and more freedom. The rally was a final stop on a 20-day 47 Tea Party Express bus tour. For the second straight day, Connecticut Senator Chris Dodd erupted at Senate Republicans over the financial reform bill. Dodd is furious that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell continues to say the measure will allow further bailouts of large financial firms.
And I would say to my friend, the Minority Leader, if you want to continue this debate, you can start by ceasing the efforts to filibuster this bill even before it gets to the floor. And I would suggest more than probably 2 or 3 people have even seen it or have any idea how many titles are in it, what it includes, what we try to achieve under the bill itself.
Dodd says the bill absolutely ends bailouts and creates a mechanism for breaking down and liquidating large financial firms that fail. President Obama traveled to Florida to detail his new vision for NASA. Rory O'Neill reports from the Kennedy Space Center.
The president's plan retires the space shuttle and puts the U.S. on a path to build a new rocket starting in 2015, send humans to an asteroid around 2025, and then on to Mars after 2030.
The bottom line is, nobody is more committed to manned spaceflight, to human exploration of space, than I am.
All this needs congressional approval, $6 billion more over 5 years, at a time when discretionary spending is in a deep freeze. Rory O'Neill at the Kennedy Space Center.
Iceland's fiery volcano could wreak havoc with Europe's air traffic for up to 6 months if it continues coughing clouds of ash. That was the word from leading volcanologist Friday as Austria joined a long list of countries in declaring their airspace a no-fly zone. Thousands of flights have been canceled at Europe's busiest ports of call, including London, Frankfurt, and Geneva. Hundreds of thousands of passengers are stranded throughout Europe and even in Asia and Australia for Europeans anxious to get home from trips abroad. Polish officials are meeting today to decide if the volcano erupting should force a delay in their president's funeral. The eruption has grounded flights throughout the region and could keep many foreign dignitaries from attending the late President Lech Kaczynski's burial. The ceremony is slated to take place Sunday in Krakow's Wawel Cathedral. Krakow's airport is one of only 2 in Poland still open this morning. And finally, a big happy birthday to Pope Benedict XVI, who celebrates his 83rd birthday today. He's scheduled to spend the day in Valletta, Malta, where some 500 children are expected to sing him happy birthday tomorrow. The Malta visit is the Pope's first international trip since the latest scandal over his response to the child sexual abuse allegations against the Catholic priests erupted. At Mass at the Vatican yesterday, he said the Church is, quote, under attack from the world which talks to us of our sins, and we see how necessary it is to do penance and thus recognize what is wrong in our lives, end quote. So happy birthday, Pope Benedict XVI, and it reminds me of that time when he arrived in Washington, D.C. on his birthday, and he steps off, and there was a huge crowd there, and they just erupted into happy birthday, and it was so great to see that happening at our nation's capital just a few years ago. So coming up next, we have Janet Morana, our regular Friday guest from Priests for Life and the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, talking about some great news coming out of Nebraska. And then following that, summer reading list, what should be on it? We'll get that from author and editor Regina Doman. Don't go anywhere. I'm Kara Coulter sitting in today for Teresa Tamio, and we'll be right back.
What makes the miracles of Jesus even more miraculous? Standing where they happened, in Israel. Come visit Cana, where Jesus transformed water into wine. Sail the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walked on the water. Celebrate the Holy Eucharist throughout the land where Jesus lived. To learn more about standing where it all happened, in Israel, the Holy Land, visit GoIsrael.com. Come visit Israel. You'll never be the same.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of doctors Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Debbie Herbeck, the wife of Fire on the Earth host Peter Herbeck.
For the past 25 years, our family has been going to doctors Kennedy and Marzoni, and we've been receiving quality dental care. And one of the things we love about going there, besides all the friendly faces, is that the dentists really do know us, and they're really there to serve the needs of our family.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Ave Maria University, academic excellence in the Catholic tradition.
As an AMU recruiter serving the Midwest states, I meet some extraordinary families. Our students say they love Ave because it's cool to be Catholic, or that dialogue about the search for truth is not only respected but expected.
Whether you visit us on campus or visit us online, you'll see that there is nothing out there quite like Ave Maria University.
Our campus is beautiful, state-of-the-art new buildings, scenic landscaping, and lots of sunshine. And our students are full of light. We have a rigorous liberal arts curriculum, and students say our professors are in a league of their own.
We're located in Southwest Florida, just 20 miles east of Naples, or at www.avemaria.edu. Come check us out and see why so many students are continuing their faith journey at Ave Maria University. Accepted students qualify for a $200 travel voucher to visit. See the website for details.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. My name is Kara Coulter, and I'm sitting in today for Teresa Tamio as she enjoys a weekend in beautiful Canton, Ohio, catawalling, I'm sure, with Dr. Ray Garendi and up to all sorts of Italian mischief down there. But joining us, as she does every Friday right now, is Janet Morana from Priests for Life and the Silent No More Awareness Campaign in Dallas this morning. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Kara. And that's right, I'm here down in Dallas. I left EWTN yesterday in Birmingham, flew over here to Dallas, and I'm participating in the Hope for Life conference. It's a conference of many people who are involved in post-abortion ministry. And I'll be here with Father Frank will be joining me here later today. And I'm also here with Georgette Forney, as you know, who co-founded the Silent No More Awareness Campaign with me. And we're going to be doing presentations tomorrow at the conference.
Oh, that sounds like a great conference with three heavy hitters there.
Oh, yes. For example, David B. Wright will be here.
Oh, even more.
Yes, from 40 Days for Life. Peggy Hartshorn, as you know, was the head of Heartbeat International and many of them. So it's going to be a very exciting conference this weekend.
Oh, terrific. Now, we've got some great news coming out of Nebraska with a passage of a couple abortion-limiting bills anyways. Can you fill in our listeners about what's going on?
Sure. And, you know, this is the kind of thing, Kara, that we like to really point to, because I know everyone is pretty, you know, kind of discouraged, you know, with the whole healthcare battle.
Absolutely.
And people feel like with Obama in the White House, you know, like, oh, my goodness, things are so dismal. Can we really make progress? And these are the signs, Kara. And we always, you know, Father Frank and I always like to point people to these kind of things to say, listen, progress is being made on the state level. And that's why it's so important for people to be involved on the local level. And the Nebraska law, for example, it is a good step. For example, what they passed was that when a woman is going for an abortion, the abortion clinic must ask her if they're being coerced into this abortion, meaning pressured by a parent, a boyfriend, a spouse, whatever. And if so, then they can't perform the abortion. They have to get her some help. So, I mean, that's a good step, because as we know, based on the testimonies of the Silent No More Wins campaign, these women, and people can go up there and listen to them, many of these women, they didn't have the abortion because of freedom of choice. They had it because they were being pressured and coerced into it. You know, they were being told by a boyfriend, you know, I'm not going to be a dad and let's take care of it. They were told, some women, by a husband, you know, we have four or five kids. We can't afford any more. You have to take care of this. Women were told they would be fired from a job, kicked out of school.
There's very little freedom and absolutely no choice.
Exactly, and that's coercion, really, when you think about it, Kara. You're being coerced into it. Your back is against the wall. You're being told either you abort this kid or here's your consequences. Well, that's coercion as far as I can see. So this law in Nebraska is really, you know, saying, well, if a woman's coming for an abortion, let's really make sure that this is what she's really choosing. You know, so you would think the other side, because they banter that choice word around so much, they would be cheering for a law like this. You know, let's give these women real choice, make sure no one's pressuring or coercing them. But, oh, no, they were fighting this law, as expected and as always their character, because the bottom line is they're not really for women. They're not for assisting women. They want to just sell abortion. So this law is a step in the right direction, and it also shows, you know, the other side plays their hand out to show them just how radical they are. So I'm encouraged that we were able to get that law passed. And also, too, Kara, at the same time, they passed the law saying that when a fetus is 20 weeks or more, the woman has to be asked if she would like the anesthesia for the baby, that the baby could suffer, you know, pain. So that's also a good step, you know?
Definitely, because it's finally humanizing the child.
The child.
That is a human. Who'd
have thought? I mean, you know, let's not make any mistake about it, Kara. We're against all abortion.
Mm-hmm.
We're at 5 moment of conception on. However, you know, these little steps can make people, it's like a wake-up call to show them the humanity of the unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this a child, it feels pain, you know, his heart is beating, look what you're doing, you know. So these are more things to raise people's consciousness more, that the woman going in for that abortion, you know, as I told you very often, she's like dismissing the child at that point because she's so consumed with whatever her problem is, you know, at that moment. They know it's a baby deep down inside them instinctively, you know, you know, it's nature. You know it's a baby, but the pressures that are, you know, surrounding you right now are so great that you can discount that, you know, push it to the back of your mind and just go forward and say, I have to do this. Otherwise, fill in the blank, like I said, kicked out of school, thrown out of the house, you know. So these laws on the state level that show these little, like, rays of hope are good signs because, again, it's really empowering women with more information about what they're about to do. And as we know, this is a life-altering decision. That abortion doesn't solve a problem. It creates all these other problems. So I'm hoping that these steps forward will help save babies and also save women from making tragic decision that they can in their life.
And the governor seems to be just, you know, every time you turn around, you hear him just really supporting it and devoted to the cause as well.
That's right. That's right. You know, and there's been a lot of other, you know, hope going around today, too, because, like, for example, in the Missouri Senate, they gave initial approval to amend the state's informed consent abortion law, adding several requirements to what a woman must be told prior to an abortion, including that she may view an ultrasound of her baby. Now, this measure, has to still go through the Senate there in Missouri one more time. It has already passed the House in Missouri. And so, again, that's another sign that we're making progress mm-hmm. on the state. Because we all know if a woman must see an ultrasound of her baby, that's going to save lives, too, because we know over 90% of women, once they see that ultrasound, choose life.
Is it 90%? Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a high percentage. It is. So, you know, there's a lot going on, and, you know, I'm just encouraged by these steps, you know?
Yeah. So, it's great to connect with you and hear some good news on the
right.
pro-life, some battles that are being won.
Yeah. But I want to remind everyone, it's Friday, and what happens on Friday evening is 10 o'clock Eastern time, another new episode of Being Life, and we have our new series, you know, still new episodes are still being viewed, so tune in tonight. And by the way, if you missed the televised Mass this morning, Father Pavone was preaching again this morning, and you can catch that. It's repeated several times throughout the day, and you can hear Father preach.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
So if you need to find out an EWTN channel near you, check out the website at EWTN.com. So after Dallas, where are you headed to next?
Well, I get to go back to New York, Kara, Sunday night. Imagine
Ooh.
That.
You get to go home?
Yes, I actually get to go home. This has been the longest trip I've ever done in one shot. I left home on April the 5th. I flew to Birmingham, where Father Pavone and I taped another 13 episodes of Defending Life.
Mm-hmm.
We also, this past week, we had our Spanish series, Defendiendo de la Vida, taped 13 more episodes. Now I'm here in Dallas, so it's almost 13 days away by the time I get home. This is kind of an easy trip.
I bet.
I'll be looking forward to going home.
Well, good. Go home and put your feet up. And we won't be checking in with you next week because of our membership drive here at Ave Maria Radio. But I'm sure after that, you could use that time, you know, to put your feet up as well.
Exactly.
So,
speaking of membership drive, I'll just give a little word ahead of time, Kara, to say that I hope there are more people than ever sign up to support Catholic Radio on a regular basis.
Thank you. It's
so important because the truth of things like I just told you about those good signs in those states, we wouldn't hear about that on the secular media.
No.
And so thanks be to God for Catholic Radio to speak the truth, to give us these signs of encouragement, to just kind of put our finger on the pulse of what's really happening in the pro-life movement all over our country. So I hope everyone is generous next week and signs up for the pledge drive and keep Catholic Radio on the air.
Thank you, Janet. We appreciate that. Everyone
who's
listening, everyone who's listening right now, you are listening to a Catholic radio station that needs your support. So as pray about it and see what you can do to help out. That was Janet Miranda from Priests for Life and the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, who joins us every Friday morning to fill us in on what's going on in the pro-life movement. So, Janet, have a great rest of your weekend.
I will. Take care. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.
When we return, it is get your pens and paper handy because you will want to jot down these titles that we are going to share to add to your summer reading. We're going to have titles that are trustworthy for the whole family coming up soon with Regina Doman, author and editor for Sophia Press Institute. A lot of new things are coming out, especially in the way of Catholic fiction, which is always kind of exciting. Well, for me anyways, because I love a good book. So don't go anywhere. We'd probably be able to take your calls if you have questions about it by calling 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We'll be back here on Catholic Connection, produced by Ave Maria Radio, right after this.
Ciena, the Catholic mobile phone company, is more than just a cell phone service. Ciena is pro-life and pro-family. And contrary to other phone companies, we actively work for a culture of life in America. With Sienna, 5% of your voice plan goes to your favorite Catholic or pro-life charity. To date, over $1 million. Sienna uses the same nationwide digital network as the big guys without contracts or termination fees. Flexible calling plans allow you to support a pro-life company and the culture of life with every call you make on your mobile phone. There's a wide selection of phones and calling plans with text messaging available as well. Also, you pay no fees to change your plan, and you get unlimited mobile-to-mobile calling with other Sienna customers on most plans. With Sienna, you can use your voice for the voiceless. Don't waste your cell phone service. Learn more at 877-4-SIENNA or on the web at prolifecatholic.com.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Wine garps, everything.
The sun is out, the grass is growing, and that can only mean one thing. It's time to get it done. Stop by Weingarten's and check out our massive inventory of outdoor equipment. From walk-behind mowers, lawn and garden tractors, and zero-turn riders, to chainsaws, blowers, and generators. Weingarten's has it all, from the quality brands you trust, like John Deere, Cub Cadet, Steel, Exmark, Honda, Toro, and Kubota, just to name a few. Why should you buy from the local leader in outdoor equipment? Simple. Weingarten's sells all the brands and models, so our experts can help you select the best product to fit your needs. And Weingarten's provides world-class service and parts support to keep your equipment running at its best. When you're ready to get it done, stop by our locations in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, and Clarkston.
Wine Guards, everything from lawn to snow.
Good morning, everyone. 31 minutes after the hour here on this Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. My name is Kara Coulter, sitting in today for Teresa Tamio, and joined right now by a good friend of mine, Regina Doman, who herself is traveling on her way to a speaking engagement as well. Regina is an author and editor. She has written a number of books and is now the editor for Sophia Press Institute, and we'll have to have her fill us in on everything she gets to do for them this morning. Good morning, Regina.
Hey, good morning, Kara. Great to talk with you again.
You too. So where are you off to today?
I'm off to the Mad Anthony Writers Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's the first Writers Conference that's not Catholic that I've been asked to speak at, so actually really excited about this whole experience. So. Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have you on today because, well, one, because I was filling in and I love talking to you. And also because summer is right around the corner and it's time to, you know, usually people find vacation time the only time they can fit in a good book. And seeing how you're an author and an editor, I thought you had the best books that we should be writing down. So tell us what is new and upcoming, especially with Sophia Press.
Sure. Well, here, let me toot my own horn first.
Please do. I love your books, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I'm very excited that I'm probably going to be getting out the fifth novel in the Fairy Tale Novel Series, which I self-published with Chesterton Press. The fifth novel is Alex O'Donnell and the 40 Cyber Thieves, and that is based on the Arabian Nights tale of Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, so this is kind of a first for me. It's a very guy-oriented book. It's a techie book, which is also,
My husband will like it.
and it's also kind of a comedy. Like, it's, you know, it's more of a campy, kind of humorous adventure,
mm-hmm.
you know, more so than the other books, you know, which kind of got deep into pro-life issues and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is just a fun summer read, and I'm hoping people enjoy it.
Now, is it for teens, preteens?
Teens, I would say,
teens,
adults. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one, it's kind of interesting because I'm using characters that have been in the other books.
Although,
if you're new to the Fairy Tale Novel series, you could pick this one up without having read any of the other ones. You know, it's a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
But the protagonists in this one are older. I mean, they're out of college. They're in their
20s. Okay.
And I realize, like, their relationship is just a lot more, you know, like how an older person's relationship are. I mean, like, you know, they're pretty easy. The chastity issues, they kind of have that under control. You know, it's a little bit more of... they're a little bit more affectionate with each other as a couple approaching the engagement would be. You know, and always before, I've always dealt with teenage couples. So it's been kind of interesting to see how different these two are, you know, how the dynamic changes in the relationship.
Well, that's great. That sounds very exciting. I'm excited. You know, I still, I don't think I have my Waking Rose novel back. I lent it to some of my teens as a youth minister at my parish. I've been encouraging your books to the teens, and I lent it to one, and she had to give it to her sister, and they let another friend borrow it. I don't think I've gotten it back yet.
I'll send you another one.
Oh, that's quite all right. I'm sure I'll get it back, but I think that was fun. But your other books, The Shadow of the Bear, Black as Night, Waking Rose, and The Midnight Dancers have been such a fun read, and I highly recommend them. And, you know, we call them fairy tale novels, but I think it's important to tell people that they're not fantasy novels.
No, not at all.
They're kind of like a cool correlation to a fairy tale, but they're not fantasy. They're a lot of fun that I think have really wide appeal to all teens and young adults.
Oh, well, yeah, thank you. This one, Alex and the 40 Cyber Thieves, is set in, you know, the cyber tech world of Northern Virginia and thereabouts, you know.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's just kind of a fun adventure, especially on the relationship level. Alex O'Donnell has decided he wants to marry Kateri Kovac, his friend from the last book, just as she's decided it's time to get serious and start dating a guy who has real potential, not this sort of, you know, sword-wielding adventurer like Alex. So right from the very beginning, they're kind of at loggerheads about the relationship, and it's a fun book.
Oh, I look forward to it. Now, you are also the editor for Sophia Institute Press. What is an editor? What do you do?
Oh, I get to boss around authors, which is kind of fun. You know, after years of being an author, I kind of get to be, you know, a little up on the food chain, which is kind of fun. I work for John Barger, who's the publisher for Sophia Institute Press, and I'm in charge of their fiction line. And, you know, as you know, this is a new venture in Catholic fiction. As far as I know, we are the only Catholic publisher who has a dedicated fiction line.
Wow.
I think the other publishers, you know, Ted, Ignatius, I think they do fiction occasionally as the mood strikes them. But basically, we have a line of fiction that we are setting off in earnest, you know, hoping to produce about, I don't know, I think I'm shooting for about 5 titles, you know, this coming year,
if
at all possible.
Impressive.
It depends on how fast my authors work. But we did 2 titles in our first year. This past year, we did Awakening and Bleeder. Awakening, a time travel adventure for teenagers, centered around the events of Holy Week, Good Friday, in biblical times. And we did Bleeder, which was our first murder mystery for adults, dealing with the murder of a stigmatic priest, or the mysterious death of a stigmatic priest.
Okay. I'm in the middle of that one right now, so don't give it away.
Oh, I won't tell you anything else. But, we're working to fill out that line. The next book we have coming down the pike is actually kind of exciting for me. Some of you have heard of the author Michelle Buchman.
Mm-hmm.
She is widely published in the evangelical world. And I had heard that she was a Catholic. I'd heard that from some of my friends. And I remember looking at her books and looking at her website and being like, man, she is such a good writer. Man, I wish she would write for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, within a month, I got an email query from her saying, hey, I have a woman's fiction that is really Catholic, and I'm just tired of trying to hide my Catholicism in the evangelical world. So would you guys like it? And I was like, absolutely, you know.
That is
really
funny.
It just made my week, my year, you know.
I actually, in preparing for this interview, I looked up Michelle Buchman, and there's a big paragraph from American Idol winner Jordan Sparks saying how much she loves Michelle Buchman's book. So this is, she's definitely has a lot, has wide appeal as well. So that's fantastic.
Oh, it's cool. I think Michelle is very excited, you know, to be kind of be able to come out in the open about her Catholicism for the first time.
That's pretty courageous, especially when you have an established audience, you know.
I can't say how great she is to work with, what a wonderful person she's been as a writer. And I think she's very, very talented. She has given us a women's fiction that does have a mystery component to it, so it actually will kind of fit into as a good follow-up to Bleeder.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually, I've been wanting to do women's fiction for a long time because I really think the Catholic women who love fiction are looking for something that really speaks to their hearts and where they're at.
Absolutely.
In their walk with God. So I've been actively, you know, searching and recruiting women's fiction authors, romance, you know, generational stories, things like that for a while. And I'm very proud that we're going to be able to start out the women's fiction line for Sophia Institute Press with a really quality, wonderful book written by a wonderful author, Michelle Buckman, and it's called Rachel's Contrition. The premise is kind of interesting. It is this girl, you know, this lady, I should say, who is at the crossroads in her life. She is totally like a lost soul. She has been raised with no faith whatsoever, and it's kind of, you know, done her thing and realized the secular world has nothing to offer. I mean, she's really a fighter. She kind of started out in the gutter and worked her way up to marry one of the wealthiest men in her her southern town, and then she loses it all. So at the very beginning of the book, she's at a point where basically she is someone who has climbed the social ladder. She had everything she wanted, and then due to a tragedy, everything has just vanished. And she's just at this crossroads in her life. And in the parking lot, while she's waiting to talk to her estranged husband and son, she sees a holy card of St. Therese. And she picks it up, and everything starts from there.
Oh. Well, yes. St. Therese is a popular one, so I'm sure that will get people interested. So this is called Rachel's Contrition. Now,
yes.
The people who are listening, I told them to have a pen and paper handy to write down all these titles that we were going to be flinging out there for them. But where can they find these books?
Well, once it comes out, it will be on Amazon. It will be at your local bookstore, especially if you want to order it, and that always helps us out. Or you can just go to SophiaInstitute.com and look it up there. And we'll be having, we just had the title. We're working on the cover. We expect to see it by, I would say, our launch date. I think we set the launch date for August 2010, but we may get it out sooner. So, keep updated. You can check my blog at reginadoman.blogspot.com. Always has the latest news about my publishing projects. So as soon as that is hot off the press, I'll be wanting to tell the world about it. So
excellent.
Oh, my Twitter updates as well.
You are very accessible then.
Definitely. I'm very easy to follow if you want to keep up what's going on.
Fantastic. Well, hold it right there, Regina. We're going to take a break. If you have a question about maybe you're an aspiring writer and you'd like some tips from a author herself as well as an editor, so she knows both sides of the coin, then feel free to call us and at 877-573-7825. If you have some questions about maybe something good for your family, call us too. We'd love to hear from you here on Catholic Connection, Coast to Coast, brought to you by EWTN, 877-573-7825. I'm Kara Coulter, and we'll be right back with Regina Doman after this.
Like a New Year's resolution, use the Easter season to follow through on your promises made during Lent. Our Lady of Grace bookstore inside Domino's Farms is a wonderful resource to know the teachings of the Catholic Church. When you read Mother Angelica's new book, The Prayers and Personal Devotions of Mother Angelica, you get the most intimate portrait yet from one of the world's great women of faith. This Little Prayer of Mine is a wonderful children's book that is very relatable to them and their parents. It also reminds children that they can trust God to care for them. For the maternal instincts, there's a handbook for Catholic moms. Lisa M. Henley helps nurture your heart, mind, body, and soul. And finally, for the philosophically curious, The Heavens Proclaim, how the study of the universe is connected to faith. It's all at Our Lady of Grace bookstore inside Lobby C of Domino's Farms. Our Lady of Grace bookstore has all your needs for Easter, Mother's Day, and First Communion. Call 734-930-3747. That's Our Lady of Grace bookstore, 734-930-3747.
Hi, this is Teresa Tamio. Are you a Catholic business owner? Well, did you know you can actually get 24-hour-a-day online advertising targeted to Catholic consumers who want to do business with other Catholics like you? And did you also know that rates start at less than a dollar a day? Well, when you display your business in the CatholicBusinessPages.com online directory, you will be reaching Catholic consumers who want to do business with you. So check it out. Go to CatholicBusinessPages.com, enter promo code AMR, and save.
Now at the Ave Maria online store, Faith, Science, and Reason, Theology on the Cutting Edge. The raging controversies over the compatibility of Christian faith and modern science have divided public opinion. Designed for Catholic high schools and colleges, theologian Christopher Bagwell delivers new insights into the Christian faith while preserving the integrity of modern science. To get Faith, Science, and Reason, Theology on the Cutting Edge, go to the online store at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Good morning, everyone. 44 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. My name is Kara Coulter, sitting in today for Teresa Tamio. I'm joined by author and editor Regina Doman, talking about some great Catholic novels that you will want to put on your summer reading list. We've mentioned some great ideas for teens, some a new line of Catholic fiction coming out of Sophia Institute Press. We have murder mysteries, or, well, mysterious death mysteries, perhaps, and some women's fiction, time travel novels. These are all available from a very trustworthy source. But we haven't talked about little kids yet. So, Regina, do you have any recommendations for the younger half of the family for coming up this summer?
I have a couple. I have an old favorite I can recommend. my book, Angel in the Waters, which was published
so
a couple of years
beautiful.
Ago. You know, the story of a baby in his mother's womb talking with his guardian angel. I hear constantly from people what a favorite that is with their kids, which I'm really honored. I haven't been able to write any other picture books since that time. Maybe I'll rectify that sometime in the future.
Hey.
But it was illustrated by a good friend of mine, Ben Hackey. And actually, this past year, he illustrated a book for our little press, Chesterton Press, called Liesl Eats Dirt. It was written by my brother-in-law, Michael Schmidtke, who some people may remember from his work on the pro-life movement. Liesl Eats Dirt is just a fun little tale about a baby sister, a little two-year-old, who's trying to figure out her baby sister and her baby sister's proclivity for eating dirt and dead bugs and all sorts of things as she explores the world. So it's just a sweet little book. Mm-hmm. You can find it at ChestertonPress.com. Liesl Eats Dirt. And you'll recognize, if you're familiar with Angel in the Waters, you'll recognize the illustrations because they're done by Ben Hackey.
Oh, that's great. I have to tell you, I give Angel in the Water to every single baby shower I go to, and it's always, well, like, they just ooh and awe over every page. It's a very sweet story. In fact, I don't know if I ever told you the story. I was mailing it to someone, and I took it to the post office, and I didn't have anything to mail it in, and I took the book with me to the post office, and I asked for an envelope to fit it, and the postmaster, the lady there, started looking at it, and she's like, this is beautiful. Like, she's, you know, she doesn't know me from Adam, and she's just like, this is wonderful. Where can I get this? So it's really, you know, it affects everyone, and it has a very subtle pro-life message, but but is very acceptable to, you know, to anyone as a gift. So that sounds great.
All right. Well, I have to say, Ben is one of the most talented artists I've ever worked with. And, you know, and he is a dedicated Catholic family man and neighbor just down the street from us, so we see him a lot. I am very pleased to announce he has been working hard at trying to get started in the secular world. And this past year, he was awarded a contract, two-book contract, actually, by First Second Books, which is a division of Random House. And he specializes in, you know, in comics for kids, basically. You know, just the pure, clean, fun comics, comic adventures that kids enjoy reading, something like the Tintin books, if you remember those of old. That's what he really wants to, you know, focus on, you know, make a comeback in that type of genre. Some of your listeners might be familiar with Ben's work from the pages of Catholic Faith and Family, because he always does their cartoon page. He's also done illustrations for Neil Lozano's books, Will You Bless Me?, Can God See Me in the Dark? Yeah. He has a line of books available from many Catholic catalogs. But while this is basically his venture into the secular world, he has come up with this absolutely charming adventure featuring a girl heroine, Zita the Space Girl. And actually, little inside scoop here, Zita the Space Girl is, you know, just a totally fun fantasy adventure, you know, totally just good wholesome fun of a little girl traveling in outer space and meeting all sorts of monsters and creatures and saving the day and things like that. Well, the Catholic underground part of it is that Zita is based on a character his wife created, who had a who has always had a devotion to Saint Zita, and actually his wife, Saint Zita, was one of her ancestors.
Oh wow!
So Saint Zita is like all in the family for the Hackey family, and Zita the Space Girl, even though, you know, there's no Catholicism in the book, though, it has a very Catholic genesis. and that it was based on, you know, it was based on the saint that his wife had always had a devotion to.
That's really neat.
Oh, yeah, and it's totally wonderful. You can look for that book in, you know, your local Barnes & Noble or your local bookstores coming, I believe, this summer or fall. ZetaTheSpaceGirl.com.
Zeta with a Z?
Z-I-T-A, just like the saint.
Zeta the Space Girl. Now, there. So he has been working at that for a while. If there are people who are listening who would like to, you know, branch themselves out, maybe they think they have a great idea for a novel, what's the first step that an author should do?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, a great idea is one thing, but really, novel writing and, you know, an artistic storytelling in that way, I would say the best thing you can do for yourself to get yourself a publishing contract is to make, you know, that book, that story, that comic as good as you possibly can. I mean, I think it's totally in the Catholic artistic tradition to just dedicate yourself to perfection, you know, to being reaching the highest level of craft that you can. And that's what I always say. I mean, that basically that is what will sell your book, is if it's just good storytelling that anybody can enjoy. And, yeah, I mean, that's definitely the first thing. But if you mean, like, once you have a book and you think you've gotten it the best you can possibly get, what do you do then? Is that what
you
mean?
Sure. Well, go on to that part.
Well, you know, you have to do your research. You have to kind of look at where the niche where your book would find. You have to figure out not so much what's unique about your book, but what makes it like what is currently out there. Because that's actually the best thing you can do. A very smart thing to do, which other people will tell you to do as well, is like, okay, say you've written a time travel book. Well, you look at what other time travel books are already out there that are like your book. Because, as you know, somebody who reads a good book, somebody who reads a good time travel book is going to start looking for another good time travel book to read. So then you find out, well, who represented that book? What agent represented it? What publisher published it? Find that out, and then, like, basically send them your manuscript and say, hey, this is a book that readers of the time travel book, which you published, to great success, you know, the people who have read that book will really like my book as well. And really, I mean, so it's a way you do kind of have to pigeonhole yourself, because there's so much out there that you will help yourself, you will help your story get sold if you can explain to people why it's like what they have already.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of completely counterintuitive, but that's really the way the market works.
Because you need to kind of almost piggyback on their success.
Oh, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then that's, you know, it's kind of that way for everything in the creative art. I mean, of course, you have to have your own unique voice. That's why people will like it. But if you're trying to get your foot in the door, that's really what you have to do. And to tell the truth, that is one reason why I've always had such a difficult time with my fairy tale novels, is because they're really a little too unique. You know, I run up to that again. Because they're fairy tale retellings, but they are also Catholic. And so Catholic publishers are kind of like, well, huh, this is not as evangelical as we would like. And secular publishers who do fairy tale retellings are like, huh, this is like Christian fiction, and we don't do that sort of thing. You know, so I've been shooting myself in the foot for years by writing novels that are too unique. Fortunately, I have found a readership, and I'm very pleased and happy with that. But, you're definitely a lot easier if you just start out with something that people can be like, oh, a space adventure. Okay, I know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. That's an interesting, because I don't think anyone listening would have thought that. They would think you have to make yourself as unique as possible. You have to make yourself stand out as much as possible. And perhaps they could save themselves a lot of heartache in the long run by starting off, you know, as you said, finding
with a little bit more parameters.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you
exactly.
need is parameters. And
okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, yeah, you definitely want the unique voice, but you also, the worst thing you can say to a publisher and agent is everybody would enjoy that book. you shouldn't say that. Because basically, if you look into a bookstore, you know, bookstores are divided up into sections.
Mm-hmm.
You have to figure out what section of the bookstore your book would be best in. And if it's in two or three different sections, that's not a good thing.
Gotcha.
I mean, if not for your first book.
Yeah.
Okay, not for your first book. You want to be able to say, hey, this book is something that tweens, you know, preteens would really enjoy. Or this is something that a six-year-old will just eat up. Or this is something that senior women who are retiring in California would love this book. You know what I mean? Like, if you can get specific,
yeah.
If you can sell to a market they are already selling to and trying to reach, they will consider you their ally.
So as an editor for a fiction line, is there a niche that you think is underserved?
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know, for years, the underserved audience has been what I call the Harry Potter audience. Basically, kids who are not teenagers, but who have, like, intelligent reading lessons, you know, who are reading books, basically, but are not ready for all the sticky, thorny moral issues that teen fiction is always mired in.
So they want novels, but not... They're too old for boxcar children and too young for
exactly
whatever.
Oh yeah, and I, as an editor, I'm looking for fiction for that age group. I really am. You know what I mean? Because everyone, I mean, as Catholics, and this is a good thing. You know, we're always focused on how to try to reach our teenagers because a lot of times the teenagers seem to want to be the ones that are wandering and questioning. And so, you know, publishers and people are always looking for stuff for teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that forgotten years. Do you know what I mean? When they've received their first communion, they're heading towards their confirmation. You know, they're kind of comfortable in their faith and things like that. Those are the kids who really, we need to support them and bolster them.
Yeah.
And I would love to get some fiction aiming for that group. I really would.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, Regina, let's give out the websites again as time.
Sure.
So that people, if they haven't been able to maybe write down all our titles, they can at least look them up. So
absolutely.
Where should they be visiting for their summer reading lists?
Okay, ReginaDoman.com, or look for me on Twitter, ReginaDoman on Twitter.
Which is Doman, is D-O-M-A-N, just like it sounds.
Yeah, D-O-M-A-N. I'm on Facebook as well. Those are easy. I always update all the things with the same stuff. SophieInstitute.com will have my, you know, titles that I'm working on for them.
That will get you.
Novels is where you can get, fairytalenovels.com is where you can get Alex.
Okay, that's fantastic. And, hey, do you have any more audio dramas in the works?
No, I wish. I'm just waiting for, what I'm waiting for is for Ave Maria and EWTN to open up their own audio drama department so I can offer myself as a consultant and we can get some more on the air.
I would love to help you out with that, so I'll see what I can do, okay?
Hey, readers, if you think that's a great idea, write in and tell Ave Maria
donate
to that cause.
Amen.
Like, hey.
Regina, have a great weekend. It's so much fun to talk to you.
I wish
you all the best on your conference this weekend. That was Regina Doman, who you can find out more at ReginaDoman.com. I'm Kara Coulter. It's been my pleasure sitting in this morning. Please keep us in your prayers next week as we have our membership drive, and have a blessed weekend, everyone. Get out there and, you know, praise God.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
The Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, are one of the fastest-growing religious communities in the country, and we are blessed to have them right here in Michigan. The Sisters provide an outstanding Catholic education to children in kindergarten through 8th grade at Spiritus Sanctus Academy with locations in Ann Arbor and Plymouth. Join the Sisters for their 14th annual scholarship dinner auction at the beautiful Inn at St. John's in Plymouth on Friday, April 23rd. You'll experience a gourmet strolling supper, professional auctioneer, and Channel 7's Vic Fowler.